But here we find, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, God has apparently accomplished his original purpose with man, and that is fellowship. He now has a creature who is a free moral agent and who chooses to worship and serve him eternally. There can be no night, since the Lamb is the light, and he is eternally present. The gates are not for protection, as they were never closed. Rather, they are the badge or coat of arms of the church. If you notice that these gates are a pearl, and the pearl of great price has been purchased at a great price. You see, the pearl of great price in that parable that the Lord Jesus gave is that pearl is not Christ that the sinner buys. And, of course, what is the sinner to pay for Christ? He hasn't anything he can pay. It's the other way around. The fact of the matter is the merchant man that bought that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and the pearl is the church. And it's interesting that a pearl is formed by a grain of sand or something that gets into the life of a little mollusk, a oyster, something like that, and begins to put around it itself a secretion that before long makes a pearl. And the church has the name there. The pearl of great price is Margarites. The church has a name. That's her name. It's Margaret. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price to buy this pearl. And this pearl was formed from his side. Someone said, I got into the heart of Christ through a spear wound. He was wounded, you see, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the church will be for display of his grace throughout eternity to his absolutely myriads of created intelligences. That's what we'll be. Paul says in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The ages to come, that is in eternity, you and I, will be there on display. And they'll look at Vernon McGee and they said, do you see that fella? He deserved hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for him and paid a tremendous price. And he trusted Christ. That's all he had to offer. And now look what the Lord Jesus has done for him. He's made him fit for heaven. Made him acceptable in the Beloved. And the church will be the fairest jewel of all when he makes up his jewels. You remember we saw back in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the day would come when he would make up his jewels. And when he does, why, the church is going to be on display. And that's the reason this will be the center of the new heavens and the new earth. And the Lamb's Book of Life contains the names of the redeemed of all ages. No one who was not redeemed by the blood of Christ will be permitted ever to enter the portals of the New Jerusalem. There's a great gulf fixed between the saved and the lost. And the greatest joy that will capture the heart of the redeemed will be that of abiding in the presence of Christ for eternity. For where I am, there ye may be also. That's what he said. And this is heaven, friend. To be with him. I said at the beginning of Revelation that it's all about Jesus Christ. And it's about him. He's the centerpiece in God's universe. What a picture that we have here. Now this city, let me say a word about it in closing, because it's his city. It's the place he made. And our attention already has been directed to the fact that a redeemed remnant of Israel makes regular visits to this city of God. And in verse 24, another group is identified, as we saw, that the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. These are the redeemed Gentile nations who will occupy the earth together with Israel for eternity. These nations, like Israel, do not belong to the church, for they are redeemed after the church is removed from the earth, before the church came into existence. They come as visitors to the city. They come as worshipers. And in Hebrews 12:22, we're told that there is also present an innumerable company of angels who evidently constitute the servant class. The city is cosmopolitan in character. All nationalities meet there. And the created intelligences of God walk the streets of the New Jerusalem. Among the multitudes, there is not one who will bring defilement or sin. How superior is this city to even the Garden of Eden, where the lie of Satan made an entrance for sin. No liar will ever enter the portals of the heavenly Jerusalem. All dwellers and all tourists are not only redeemed from sin, but have lost their taste for sin. They come through the gates, which are never closed, and the enjoyment of this glorious city is not restricted to the church, although they are the only ones who dwell there. And I'd like to close chapter 21 with the words of Bernard of Cluny, when he wrote these lovely lines, "Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed, beneath thy contemplation sink heart and voice oppressed. I know not, oh, I know not, what joys await me there, what radiancy of glory, what bliss beyond compare." What a picture, and how inadequately I have dealt with it, friends. I even apologize for that. Oh, if I could only somehow or another lift you and myself up that we might get a glimpse of the glory of that city and the glory of the one who is its chief adornment, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glorious prospect and privilege of being with Him throughout eternity. There's nothing to compare to it.